Our sermon lesson for tonight comes from John's Gospel, chapter 18. We read Luke's account of Jesus before Pilate in the Passion History reading. John looks at it from a different perspective and gives us some different details in his account. Please stand as we read from John 18. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. This is the gospel of our Lord. We pray. Dear Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, if you've ever been to Ohio State University, you may have noticed an interesting-looking building on campus. With pointed architecture, its off-kilter grid pattern, columns that don't reach the floor, and stairways that lead to nowhere, the Wexner Center for the Arts is a building that's designed to make a statement. And that statement, according to the architect, is that it's designed to reflect life, senseless and incoherent. This building is a building that was constructed completely differently than most normal buildings. They took the playbook of building construction and threw it out the window. They wanted to question everything, to redo the entire way we make buildings, to show that life is senseless and incoherent. It's a little bit extreme, but this building kind of reflects our society's view of truth. In our society, nothing can be said to be absolutely true. There are no absolutes. Everything is relative. So one person can have one version of the truth, and another person can have another version of the truth, and neither one can say that the other opinion is invalid. So how did we get here? How did we get to the point in our society where nothing can be accepted as an absolute truth? We got here pretty much the same way that Pontius Pilate did. With too many groups of people claiming to have the truth, but yet claiming opposing things. That's what happened that day in Jerusalem. And in that case, Pilate decided that it was too hard to figure out who was telling the truth and who was lying. Or maybe it wasn't too hard. Maybe it was just inconvenient. I think as we study Pilate's words, we're going to see that that's really what's behind his question, "What is truth?" We're going to see that the truth is not hard to find. It's just hard to accept. It was early. Pilate was tired. And he wasn't a Jew, so why did they have to drag him into this mess? Why did they have to bring Jesus over to his palace at this ridiculously early hour on a Friday morning? But still, that crowd wasn't going away. And they weren't getting any quieter unless he went and made a ruling on this Jesus of Nazareth. So he summoned him in, but before he did, his officials caught him up on the charges against this man. See, it wasn't so much what Jesus had done as what he had said that got him in trouble. Jesus came into this world and he claimed not only to have the absolute truth, but to be the truth. Jesus came into this world claiming to have the truth, and in doing so, he offended quite a few people. That's the problem with claiming absolute truth, is that people are going to take offense at you. Because in some way or another, when you claim to have the truth, you're telling people that if they don't agree with you, they're wrong. And if there's one thing that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law hated, it was being wrong. See, in their minds, they were the guardians of the gates of heaven. They were the ones who got to make the rules, who got to tell people how they had to live to gain God's favor and get into heaven. But then Jesus came along and told them that they didn't have to follow any of those made-up rules. Jesus told them that they could go to heaven simply by believing in what he had done or would do for them. And so these Pharisees and teachers of the law decided they needed to hatch a plan to get Jesus arrested and even put to death. But they had a little problem. They knew that Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, would not care one bit about a Jewish religious dispute. So they found a new way to frame it. They brought Jesus to Pilate, and they said, "This man claims to be the king of the Jews. Nudge, nudge, Pilate, governor of Judea. This man claims to be the king of the Jews. He's trying to take your job." And so they brought Jesus in before Pilate, and you can almost hear the surprise in Pilate's voice as he says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" This man who walks in bound hand and foot with his head hanging low, wearing street clothes, this man claims to be the king of the Jews? And it's there that Jesus' accusers found some common ground with Pilate, in that Jesus was not who they expected him to be. You could also say Jesus was not who they wanted him to be, because for Pilate, it would have been so much easier if Jesus had walked in, head held high, spouting some revolutionary, rebellious rhetoric against Rome, claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be the king, shouting in Pilate's face, "I'm the king, not you." Then it would have been easy for Pilate to put him to death. But as you know, that's not what happened. And so Jesus stood there in front of Pilate, and Pilate couldn't help but try to find the truth. So he asked him if he really claimed to be a king. And Jesus essentially said, "Yes, I am a king, but not the kind you're thinking of, not the kind they're accusing me of claiming to be. My kingdom is from a different place. It's not of this world." And Pilate, thinking he's finally getting somewhere, says, "So you are a king then?" And Jesus responds, "You are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Truth listens to me." There it was, standing right in front of him, staring him in the face, the truth that he had been looking for. It wasn't hard to find, just a couple simple questions, and Jesus told him the truth. It wasn't hard to find, but it was hard to accept. Because if he accepted this to be true, if he accepted that Jesus was who he said he was, then that meant he had to march himself out in front of that angry mob and tell them the exact opposite of what they wanted to hear. It wasn't that it was hard for him to find the truth, it was that it was hard for him to accept it. See, I don't think Pilate was confused as he asked his three-word question. I think he was complacent, careless, apathetic. I think it was a dismissive, "What is truth?" It wasn't that the truth was hard to find, it was that it was hard to accept. So he turned away, muttered, "What is truth?" and went out to give one half-hearted attempt at declaring Jesus not guilty before he washed his hands of him and handed him over to the Jews so that they could crucify him. What is truth? The same words are uttered in the same dismissive tone today. It's not so much that truth is hard to find, it's that it's hard to accept. What is the truth about Jesus? It's not hard to find. Jesus is exactly who the Bible says He is. You know, the Bible, the most widely accessible, the most widely published book in the entire world, it says right in there who Jesus is. Truth is not hard to find. It's what that truth means for us that's hard to accept. It means we are who God says we are in the Bible. It means that we have to live by those rules that God says everyone has to live by. It means that we have a perfect standard to live up to. It means by nature we're not on the side of truth. It means we're born into this world citizens of the kingdom of lies ruled by the devil himself, and we have no way of escaping it. It means everything we tell ourselves to try and make ourselves feel better is a lie. Things like, I may not be the best person in the world, but at least I'm better than that guy. Things like, sure, I have my flaws, but I'm getting better, and if I keep working on myself, eventually I'm going to be a really good person. Not that the truth is hard to find, it's that it's hard to accept. You don't have to look too far in your life to find examples of how you are sinful, of how you are enemies of God by nature. It's that truth about yourself is too hard to accept. It's too hard to accept that Jesus is the Savior because it's too hard to accept that you need a Savior. Because that would mean admitting that you have committed more than a few sins in your life. It would mean admitting that you're corrupt to your very core. But ultimately, the reason this truth is so hard to accept is because by nature, our sinful nature cannot accept it. That's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8. He says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And that's why there was an angry mob that day in Jerusalem. That's why there was an apathetic Pontius Pilate shaking his head, saying, what is truth? As truth stood right in front of him. And while our rebellion against the truth might not be as visible as an angry mob trying to get Jesus killed, it's still there. It's there in how we try to make Jesus who we want Him to be. We try to make Him just a great teacher, just a great financial planner or a life coach, just a guy who tells you how to live your life, gives you a few tips, but won't judge you if you do anything wrong. We try to make Jesus who we want Him to be or who we think our friends want Him to be, all so that they'll listen to what He says. All so that they won't object, or maybe so we won't object to what He says. But when we do that, we're doing the Holy Spirit's work, aren't we? We're trying to make Jesus seem more appealing to others. And when we do that, we're not just bending the truth. We're putting souls in danger. We're putting our soul in danger and other people's in danger. In his book, Prepared to Answer, Professor Mark Paustian tells a story about a tourist who walks into that building I described in the introduction. The tourist walks into the Wexner Center and he goes on one of the guided tours. As he's walking around, the tourist points out to him the disjointed architecture, the columns that don't meet the floor, the staircases that lead to nowhere, the architecture that's designed to reflect life, senseless and incoherent. But then, the story goes, the tourist raises his hand and asks one simple question. Did they do the same thing with the foundation? And just like that, the whole statement of the building was undone. This building where they threw out the traditional playbook, where they tried to break the mold of regular architecture, where they didn't want to play by the rules, but they did have to follow that one rule, didn't they? Because a building needs something to stand on. Just like in life, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you believe, you have to have something to stand on. You have to have a foundation. If you don't, nothing in your life will make any sense. And that is why Jesus came into this world. He came into this world to be the foundation we know we can build on and the truth we know we can trust. He's the one who came into this world not only to testify to the truth, but to be the truth for us. Thank God that through the Holy Spirit you know that truth and have become convinced of it. Because that truth means that Jesus is who the Bible says He is. He is the one who came into this world to be the way and the truth and the life for us. He's the one who came into this world not to be who we wanted Him to be or who Pilate wanted Him to be, but who came into this world to be the Savior a sinful world needed Him to be. He's the one who lived a life of complete and utter truth, who lived His life up to that standard of perfection that God set in His Word, and then who gave that life of truth and perfection to us. He's the one who went to the cross after Pilate washed his hands of Him to pay for all the times that we rebelled against through our dishonesty, through our bending the truth about God, through our trying to make Jesus who we want Him to be. He's the one who died so all those sins could be put to death with Him. Yeah, Jesus is who He says He is. And that means that you are who the Bible says you are. Sure, you were born into this world a citizen of Satan's kingdom. But now you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, both now and in eternity. You were a child of wrath by nature. Now you are a blood-bought and redeemed child of God. You were a rebellious sinner who could do nothing but object to the truth that's found in God's Word. You're a converted believer through the Holy Spirit that God calls to bear witness to His truth. It's true, many in our world today share Pilate's attitude toward the truth. They might even shake their head and say, "What is truth?" when we claim to have an absolute truth. But deep down, they long for something to stand on. They long for something to build on. They long for anything to help them make sense of this world that so often does seem senseless and incoherent. By God's grace, you have the truth that they're looking for. You have the truth that the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart, and you know that He can work in other people's hearts as you bear witness to that truth. That's the purpose that God has given you. It's for that very reason that God brought you into this world, to testify to the truth. To testify to the absolute truth of the absolute free salvation won for you in Christ Jesus. Amen.